around. Surely they wouldn't have harmed the children, Jack, would they?
Never underestimate what cold hearts would do. Look.
Jack pointed above the topmost branches of the surrounding trees to the black, circling silhouettes moving against the blue sky.
Vultures. Disgusting creatures with their lean, pouched necks and bloodshot eyes. Oh, by the three Kennedys. Let them not all.
As they walked the last few yards, they disturbed more of the disgusting predators, sending them flapping heavily away from their fresh feast. The corpses lay everywhere, scattered like discarded toys, arms and legs tangled in heaps. The two old women were at the edge of the trees, naked. Their legs spread obscenely wide.
Two younger women brought water. They're not here. They're taking them.
All the slavers? Was it all of them, friend Lauren?
Jack had been looking at the trampled tracks in the moist clay below the dam.
No, Doc. Three or four. Scouts. Could still be close. Some of these wounds still bleeding.
I see that.
It was a pathetic sight. One or two of the older boys had been gunned down, but most of the rest looked as if they'd been herded together, then had their throats slit like helpless cattle. There were 17 dead children. Jack stopped suddenly, his head to one side like a bird.
Listen. Close.
He pointed the 6-inch barrel into the undergrowth to their right. He began to move, as light as a hunting panther, Doc following him. Even Doc could see that they were following a trail of broken bushes and flattened grass. There was a length of bright dyed material hanging on a snapped twig that he recognized as having been worn by one of the food-bearing women. Jack held up a hand, stopping with one foot raised, setting it gently to the ground. He beckoned Doc nearer, putting his mouth close to the old man's ear.
Very close. See that big tree? Reddish trunk? Behind that. We're gonna take him, Doc. You ready?
Doc nodded, his face set like granite for the prospect of revenge. Without a moment's thought, Doc pushed by the teenager, striding around the tree, his gun ready. There were four slavers, four swarthy white men with long, greasy hair, all wearing shirts and pants of stained, once white cotton. Two of them were busily pulling up their pants as Doc raged into sight. There was a dead woman from the village lying huddled and naked in the fetal position, her throat open from ear to ear. There was another naked young woman, blood pumping slowly from the severed artery at the side of her neck. Her feet were kicking as though they were tangled in blankets, and her arms were out straight, the fingers clawing at the damp mud. One of the men scratched his head, his murderous little rat's brain taking time to work out the appearance of the silver-haired old man holding a cannon of a blaster. Doc squeezed the trigger. Jack leveled his .357 Python and fired. Doc knew there wasn't time to fiddle with the golden grave Lamoth and change the hammer over to the revolver's chamber. He holstered the weapon and drew the slim rapier blade from its ebony hiding place as he ran to the fourth man. The slaver reached for the stained revolver in his belt. Doc straightened his right arm and lunged at the slaver's face. The Toledo steel drilled through the slaver's tongue, pinning it to the roof of his mouth, then drove back through the top of the throat, severing the spinal cord beneath the skull. Doc twisted his wrist, freeing the rapier, and the man fell at his feet. Three were dead or dying, and one was wounded.
Help me! Help me, for the love of God, Signor!
You should not have waged your war against women and children. A fatal mistake.
Done him good, Doc.
We were too late, my boy. We arrived only to exact vengeance for the dead innocents.
Better than nothing. Four scouts sent out by Bivar, we got all four. Make the son of a bitch wonder some.
Please, the pain!
I don't want to bother with the Lamar. Nor do I wish to sully my steel with his foul blood. Would you do me the honor of allowing me the brief loan of your revolver, Master Lauren?
Gladly, Doc.
I tell you things about Rodrigo.
Like what?
He's going to attack the village.
When?
You maybe let me go? I don't do nothing. Men like you and me, we don't fall out over a few children and old sluts.
Men like you and me? You dare to link your depraved and vile person with us?
as you would say, adios.
Shoot, Doc. First one did it.
Second one felt even better. Thank you for the loan.
Might have talked more.
No, Jack, I don't believe so. He would have lied to try to save his worthless skin, and that's all. There is nothing he could have told us that we don't already know. We have merely left the world a slightly cleaner place.
Now what?
We go tell the mothers and the fathers that there is some burying to be done.
The village was in mourning. When Doc and the white-haired teenager returned with their grim news, Itzcoatl had dispatched a working party of 30 heavily armed men to retrieve the bodies and bring them back to their homes for a ceremonial interment. The companions had kept well out of the way. Now they were all gathered in Ryan and Christie's hut, discussing whether the happenings of the day made any difference to their plans, and eventually deciding that they didn't.
They had provisions for 2 days.
Means that they were scouts on a recon. Bavar will expect them back the day after tomorrow. Allow them a day, then he'll come in.
He'll probably still be moving toward us during those 2 days. Means that he'll likely arrive here in a minimum of 2 days.
Maximum of 3.
Anything else interesting in their saddlebags?
That bag blasting powder. Doc say it is.
Recognized it by the feel and the smell. An uncle of mine had done some prospecting out in the superstitions in the 60s.
Might just be what we need to trigger the thermite, Doc. Well done.
No. If Jack and I had departed a little earlier and traveled a little quicker, but he was slowed by some tardy cripple, then we might truly have done well and saved more than a dozen young lives from a vicious bloodletting.
If Bivar had come by this afternoon or evening, he could have walked right in and taken the whole place without a single hand being raised against him.
Christie stood in the doorway of the thatched building as the rituals for the dead were still going on. The sun was almost down in the far west, beyond the lake. Ryan joined her, resting his hand gently on her shoulder.
It's like we said before, lover. You find a new place and it seems like it could be paradise. Bite into the apple and there's a stinking great worm.
Best we can do is try and leave something better than we find it. Only thing we've ever been able to do.
The drums had been pounding a slow, mournful rhythm since the bodies of the women and children had been returned to the village, going on into the hours of darkness, making rest almost impossible, though it hadn't stopped Dean from falling instantly asleep the moment he got into his bed.
Ah, those damn drums.
You ever take a good look at them, lover?
The drums? Not really. Why?
Like those robes the priests wear for the rituals.
No. You mean those drums are made from flayed human skin as well?
Right. The horrible thing is that you can see recognizable human parts on them. Nipples and navels and arms and legs dangle down the sides.
Fireblast, Christie. There are times in the last few days I've wondered whether we were doing the right thing staying on here to help. Now I'm even less certain than I was.
But the god Jack is happy to help them against the slavers, isn't he?
I guess so. You gonna try and sleep?
Might be able to set myself into a trance. My mother Sonya taught me.
Who is it?
Me. You able to get off to sleep with those damn drums?
Dean's asleep, and I'm going to try and ease myself off as well.
Doc's snoring like the last of the Thunderbirds in our hut. Mildred keeps dropping off for a few minutes and waking again.
How about Jack?
Not sure. Kid went out an hour ago and hasn't reappeared yet. My guess is that he and Rainflower might have something going together.
Maybe he'll settle down here in the Ville and have lots of little godlings.
I don't see the lad settling down again for a while. Not after the pain of the disaster of last time. Ryan, there's a good moon out there. Wondered if you fancied a short recon into the forest.
Yeah, why not? You want to come, Christie?
No thanks, lover. Bed sounds good to me. And they can't keep on drumming all night.
Haven't brought any of your thermite bombs with you, have you?
I know that we're on the brink of getting them to work. Maybe if we top off the igniter with that blasting powder that Jack and Doc brought with them. Could do the trick. Not too much time left for experimenting.
The moon was close to full, throwing sharp-edged shadows and turning everything to shades of black, white, and silver.
Been a while since the two of us went off for a recon together. There seemed times when we did nothing else for Trader.
You think he made it?
JB turned, his eyes invisible behind